You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, and here for another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I've got the best golden boy, 365 Days of Horror, also known as Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
God bless America, land that I... something.
Yeah, that one slaps. How you doing? How you doing, Jordan?
Survived another 4th of July. It is not my holiday. It is not my thing. I think just about everything about it doesn't appeal to me. I don't drink, so I don't get any Budweiser American Chelada. I live in an apartment, so I'm not grilling. I don't have a yard to play in. And I really don't like fireworks, so I got nothing.
Yeah, it seems like that's not a great holiday match. I don't much like, I did like fireworks until I got animals, and they hate it, so that sucks, and it feels like a war zone. And I don't like America, so that really cancels the whole thing out.
Well, you can just get out.
I can't. They literally will not let me. I can't go anywhere.
We're trapped. Ron Paul was right.
Fuck. Well, we got a special guest with us today, Jordan. Did you know about this? Did you hear about this?
I heard some rumors.
We've got a longtime comrade of the Toilet of Hell. We got Simon Phoenix, or as we're gonna call you on this episode, if that's all right with you, Paul. How's it going, Paul?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, sorry, I don't sound like Wesley Snipes. I am, in fact, not Wesley Snipes. Still, I'd be more than happy to murder, death, kill, whatever you need to do.
I've been thinking a lot about that movie pretty recently, and it seems like this really is the future that we've come to. You know, like that, somehow Demolition Man predicted everything.
Not quite, because we don't have Taco Bell as the only fast food joint yet. The franchise wars have not quite gone down yet, but at this point, I'm kind of betting on, I don't know, Wendy's.
Really?
Yeah. Only because their chicken sandwiches are good as fuck, and I just kind of just want to see a whole bunch of people in Wendy's uniforms just beat the fuck out of Chick-fil-A employees.
The kids at Chick-fil-A are entirely too, like, cheerful, so I'll definitely put my money on literally any other fast food franchise over those guys.
Well, see, you got to attack on Sundays when they're not prepared for it.
Oh, absolutely. That's...
Yeah, but where's the fun in that? I need to see people literally shove a chicken. There was this hilarious video on YouTube about Chick-fil-A's versus Popeye's employees, and there was in the car like, oh, like Popeye's got this new chicken sandwich, and it was all cursing or whatever, and then they roll up on him like a whole thing, and it was like just a whole drive-by. It was hilarious.
I don't think I've ever been to a Popeye's where anyone working there has given a single fuck.
Listen, I've been to several Popeye's. It's, they do not give any fucks.
I went to the Popeye's outside Graceland in Memphis when I was a kid, and one of the guys working the chicken actually jumped over the cab over the counter to escort a dude outside. So if we're going with who's going to win the fast food wars based solely on like brute not giving a shit, it's Popeye's all the way.
Definitely Popeye's, because I've seen it. There was like one in Manhattan where I went, and then like I think the person wanted beans instead, and then they got rice instead, and I could have sworn the cook was this close to just tossing a fucking bowl of rice right at them. I was like, wow, okay, can I just get my chicken sandwich, please? Fuck.
So, I guess the question that I've got, the reason we had you on here today is, how do you use the three seashells?
Funny thing is, I've never actually watched a video in which side reveals it, because some things should just remain pure and unknown. Plus, I heard it was disgusting as fuck, so I have no idea to this day.
One day.
For the record, I do not think they should make a sequel.
Is that a thing that is in discussion?
Yeah. No, Sly was like, oh, we're in discussion with it, and it's really good. And I'm just like, why? Because the movie ended perfectly. Not everything needs to, you know, leave a cliffhanger for a sequel. You know?
Yeah, and also it's been like fucking 25 years, maybe longer. Like, it's fine. We can just leave it be.
I mean, what are they going to do? Talk about how fucking Simon Phoenix had a whole tax evasion cartel come after him or some shit?
Really, New Jack City?
Exactly.
Well done. Paul, how long have you been listening to heavy metal?
Pretty much since my late teens, about, I guess 17. I really started it when I was, more so moving around the country, I believe, when, because I live in New York. I was born in Brooklyn, and then I lived in Queens for most of my childhood, and then I moved out to California, and then I listened to a lot of, I started out listening to nu metal.
I was going to ask, what were the popular bands around that time?
I'm trying to remember. I'm old and my mind is mush, but like, I listened to a lot of Linkin Park, fucking, like, because like, I got into metal fairly late in my life, and it was like in my late teens, and it was roughly around the 2000s when, you know, nu metal was booming. So it was all Linkin Park and fucking Slipknot and shit like that. And I hung out around a bunch of kids who would listen to that. And I only got into it more when I moved back to New York in like, what, roughly 2002, 2003. And then as I went on forward, I met a lot more kids who were listening to nu metal and whatever. And then from there, I worked my way backwards. I got into metalcore and then just kept working my way backwards to where I'm at now. So,
around where would you say now? Because out of all the people that I know that that enjoy heavy metal, your tastes seem to focus solely, or not solely, but you seem to have like an expertise on the real throwback shit.
Like, when I started more on more, I guess, true genres of metal, I got way to extreme metal. Like, I thought Behemoth was the absolute shit, but you know, before Nergal turned out to be a weird creep.
Yeah,
like, I was really into fucking Behemoth and bands like that. I wasn't really into, like, I guess, entry point extreme metal shit like that, Morbid Angel, whatever. But then I started, you know, doing what every nerd does, and just reading the shit out of metal archives.
True.
And just made my way then, and then my taste kind of, I don't know, I guess lightened down a bit to where I'm more into traditional metal and thrash and all that shit now. So I still listen to extreme metal. It's just that it's harder for me to find a band now that I like compared to, you know, other genres.
Yeah, I mean, well, the trad metal types, they have a lot of elements that, you know, aren't super common among extreme metal, you know, things like harmonies and hooks and things like that.
Talent.
Yeah.
Songwriting abilities.
I'll give you that. But, you know, I mean, we also don't have... But I'll say at least extreme metal doesn't need, you know, like, gallons of fucking oil, you know, to emulate the favorite Man of War video. So I'll give them that.
That's fair. I'll let folks that like this podcast, I'll let y'all in on a little secret. When I'm kind of stumped for music to play on the show, sometimes I'll go through what Paul just bought on Bandcamp and just buy that. Because you got good taste. I've kind of wondered, I don't know, have you ever like been given shit for the music that you like though?
sometimes, because I actually have a lot of like contrary, not as much as say my roommate, but I have like a bunch of contrarian takes on trad and thrash. Like,
let's hear one.
Like, I can, for one thing, I can't fucking stand Anthrax. And then my roommate insists that Fistful of Metal is one of the best thrash albums ever because it's literally Judas Priest but faster. And I'm like, that sounds like the greatest thing ever, but I don't hear that at all.
Yeah, I don't like any incarnation of Anthrax because the vocals kill it for me on every single attempt. All right, Jordan, we've talked about this before, right? What's your take on it?
I only really like one song by Anthrax, and it's the John Bush era with Safe Home. I think that's an actual good song, and it's not traditional thrash or kind of the goofiness that Anthrax was known for in the earlier stages. And the video has Keanu Reeves in it.
What?
Yeah, I kind of remember that. It was wholesome, but yeah, still Anthrax.
Yeah, no, that's a fair assessment to say it's like it's a nice rock song or like metal light song, and it has the hooks and the appeal, and that's about it. Like, you know, sure, the Anthrax hits are cool, but I've never really felt the need to like dive into them or listen to some of the obscure stuff. They're fine.
I don't know. If I'm going to go with a thrash band makes a wholesome rock song, I think I'll just slap a nice cassette on and listen to I Disappear instead. Exactly.
Oh, man.
Like how can you miss that? I Disappear, yeah.
Yeah, man, the Mission Impossible 2 sound. I've never seen the movie, but I had that soundtrack back in the day. Because, I mean, not only did you have I Disappear, but you also had that Limp Bizkit song that copped the Mission Impossible theme. I mean, that's pretty tight.
Yes. The one song in a movie that's basically just the theme, but extreme. I'm trying to remember which other one that was good that was... Well, it's not good, but the one I remember is kind of like Will Smith and then Men in Black, which is just, you know, random, but it's the one I could think of.
Well, I mean, Will Smith also had Wild Wild West.
We don't speak of that.
My wife put that on the other day, and I'm like, God, this movie is fucking terrible. It'd been, you know.
See, I would see Franklin howling to that, or Nathan howling to that more than the fireworks, because that's painful to listen to.
Right now he's yelling at something or other. I have no idea. Maybe just like the mere mention of Wild Wild West. What is it that you think? What are the essential elements in making like a solid trad metal band then?
I mean, you gotta have good hooks. Gotta have good hooks. You gotta have solos. You gotta talk about, swords a lot.
Can you mix swords and motorcycle talk? Is that allowed in trad metal?
Absolutely, but there's gotta be a good ratio. Like if you were to have a motorcycle with a fucking sword on the front wheel, I don't know. That would seem cool, but it might be overdoing the ratio. Or like a sword where the handle is a fucking motorcycle. You know, you gotta think of it. You gotta think these things out.
It seems unwieldy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how are you supposed to turn and without, you know, chopping someone's leg off when you're trying to go out the Chick-fil-A parking lot?
I mean, you need realism when singing about riding your motorcycle to the land of Crom.
Exactly. You know, you dishonor Crom by chopping off that lady's leg while she's trying to walk her dog into the Chick-fil-A. It's like, you know, what would Crom consider the most honorable thing? Slap it on the side.
I I think that this would be an appropriate opportunity to maybe talk about some trad metal that you're sharing with me that it might do some of these things. I don't think there are any motorcycles involved, but there are swords, right?
Yes.
Now, this is a band from France. Paul, do you know how to pronounce it? Because I don't.
Absolutely not.
God damn it.
Mutueres.
I surrender.
Close enough. Close enough. This was a random find on Bandcamp. Like, I'm trying to remember who recommended. I believe it was Brandon Corsair of the band Azath. Oh. He posted it one day and then was like, oh, this, I like the cover. This looks interesting. So I played it and it's like fucking. It sounded like a mix of, like, it has this really good Maiden kind of catchiness, but with that kind of punk energy to it.
Yeah, like some real fucking triumphant moments here too. It's, I don't know, it works for me pretty well, and I gotta say that cover art is really, really striking and dope. I find that, you know, a lot of bands that try to do the sword and sorcery bullshit, like, it just feels like a drawing on a kid's Trapper Keeper or something. This one is,
but that's part of the charm. But yeah, I get what you're saying,
but this is nice. So yeah, you sent me a la spatha. I have no it means with the spath, by Murtrell on the album Murtrell. So why don't we give that a listen? We'll be right back. Yeah, man. I was playing this in my kitchen this morning. I was like, yeah, that I'm ready now. I'm ready for the day. I can do things. Nice. I really dig this one. Paul, you're out in New York City, right?
I moved to Jersey in roughly early February. I had intended to move out here because my roommate had offered a room where it's much cheaper. I was originally living in Brooklyn from like roughly 2016 to early February, and the rent had gotten way too high and I couldn't stay there, so I was looking for other places. I had considered staying in New York, but then my friend offered me, and I was like, sure. So I moved out here. And apparently I dodged a bullet in doing so.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, there was some kind of thing that happened in New York. I don't quite understand it myself. So I assume that where you're at is maybe a little bit less fatal.
A bit, but you kind of got the boomers who like to go out to their salon places not wearing their mask, and it's kind of annoying. And the place I work, there's a lot of people that fucking don't wear their mask either, and it's like, can we not?
Yeah, man, it's a whole thing. Old people just want to die. I don't understand it. My city is like it recently mandated that you had to like wear a mask out in public, and so people are doing like what is the word for it? Civil disobedience and like the anti-mask rallies and shit. And Alex Jones is out at the Capitol every fucking weekend. I hate him.
He's still around. Didn't he get sued by like a bunch of people?
Oh yeah, he had to pay out for spreading all these lies that like Sandy Hook shooting was staged. He had to pay out to them. His ex-wife like recently said that he like kidnapped their children, and there's all these pending legal action against them, and yet
Jesus
every weekend
Christ.
This motherfucker is leading a parade of just fucking mouth breathers through the streets of Austin, and I want him to get the COVID so bad.
At my job, a dude came up to me and no mask on, and you're required to wear a mask at the job, and I'm like, and I'm just staring at him as I'm tallying out his items. And he's like, oh, I survived working in the below 32 degrees cold, and yet a fucking mask, and yet a fucking virus, and yet you're scared of a fucking virus? Just grabs his shit and dish leaves. And I'm like, okay, buddy. It's very much Trump country out here.
Really?
With like a lot of old conservative boomers. Like you'll see a ton of Trump 2020 shirts out here and hats.
I guess this is just like my blinkered view, having never been anywhere near the Northeast. I just assumed that it was, quietly racist liberals there.
No, like people tend to forget that if it wasn't for New York City, New York would absolutely be a red state. Mm-hmm. Because you go anywhere remotely beyond Yonkers, and it's like just hills and forests and Hicks Central. It's like indistinguishable from anywhere down south or whatever. Only you speak with vaguely New Yorkish or Bostonish accents. It's crazy. And me, being slow as I am, didn't even realize this until later in life. But yeah, absolutely. Like New York, like you said, it's quietly racist. But, you know, just go a little couple hours north.
Well, but the rent's much cheaper, right?
Ha! That's funny.
Like, for your work, do you do something like customer service then?
Yes.
I guess I haven't worked customer service in a number of years, and I thank God every day because, man, it seems like in the best times, people are insanely cruel to customer service workers. And in the middle of a fucking pandemic, like, the mask thing and just losing their shit on people if you... say, like, hey, you need to put a mask on? Is that something that you've been having to deal with a lot?
Tons. And it's just like, oh, my freedoms, and I fought for this country. I should be able to do what I want, or, you know, I can't breathe in this. And it's like, it's not about you, you know? It's like, okay, you fought for the freedom to give your mother or sick grandmother COVID because my freedoms. Make it make sense, you know?
I guess the most common thing that I've seen from the right wingers, it's either like some variation of the mask is like either a test to see if you'll be a complacent sheeple, or I have a medical condition that it makes it too difficult to breathe in a mask for 5 minutes when I pick up groceries, so I'm just not going to wear one. And
I mean, I actually got one who couldn't wear it because of a medical condition, because her lungs couldn't take it. But it's like, if you catch the virus, your lungs will be 50 times worse.
Yeah, man. Why is it that people are so fucking mean to people that work in customer service? What do you think?
I feel it's because they have their own problems, so they need to vent it at people they don't know. Because they think, oh, well, you work at a cash register. You're not making any worth of yourself. I could do whatever I want. Or, oh, you serve drinks. I could do whatever I want. And it's like, these people have lives too. You know?
Yeah. I don't get it, and it's something that I've seen consistently for so long, and it's just like, I don't know, it's like there's some kind of brain mutation where you just have to take out your shitty life on some poor bastard that's serving you.
It's like an American caste system almost for these people who have had like a modicum of success, or they've just gotten older and they once worked jobs like that and now they don't anymore. It's because they worked hard and you work in that job don't work hard. And it's just this class struggle that comes out in real life when someone tries to like go buy a pizza.
Yes, the bootstraps. People do realize, like, you can't literally pull yourself up by the bootstraps. It's physically impossible to do it without tripping yourself. So I don't understand that phrasing. Never mind the fact that, you know, the entire foundations of our country are set up to ensure that certain people don't get by, no matter how hard they pull their bootstraps up. And every time someone even remotely tries, they burn it the fuck down. So, but that's just me.
No, I definitely get what you're saying, though. And I think that the original, like, phrase itself was meant jokingly, like, do this impossible task. And it just got adopted by the worst fucking people on Earth.
Pretty much.
I don't know, man, though. It's, it's kind of wild, like, you know, everybody's, like, losing their job and shit, and it's dangerous, like, to go out, and still, like, the drive to just be shitty remains in the face of just overwhelming adversity. So if I don't know if we could bottle that, we might be able to, you know, generate green energy solutions or something like that.
Remember for like the first 2 weeks of this, all the commercials were like, we're in this together, we're helping each other. That just went right out the window.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
I'm bored. Fuck you.
I think. I forget what meme where I saw it, but like, there was a meme that said, if your worker's unemployment is better than their actual pay, they're not lazy. You're just exploitive.
Yeah.
Like maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they wouldn't need to depend on unemployment so much if you paid them more, especially during a pandemic where they're literally risking their lives to come to their jobs and serve people or do whatever else it is they do. Like, they call people essential, but like, you don't actually think they're essential by paying them more. And if I remember, the fucking unemployment thing has just been expired. So yes. Now people are going to be fucking evicted from the unemployment and the rent freeze. So, no, we didn't even get a rent freeze, right?
No.
There's an eviction freeze in, I think, most states, but I think that's coming to an end as well.
Both of those things are coming to an end. So now you're going to have tons of people who are homeless and broke, and you're just like, oh, well, I'm just going to make that exponentially worse by being around them with no mask.
It's like, when you put it that way, it's just the most unimaginably cruel thing on earth. Yeah, because I was reading a couple of days ago reports from an eviction court where this judge is like, do you have like some obscure legal term? And all these people that don't have any fucking money to hire a lawyer, they're like, what is that? He's like, all right, you're evicted. It's like, I don't know. Does anybody care that like all of this shit's coming to a head all at once? Like, what's the recourse? Is there going to be any other kind of help? I don't get it.
I mean, it could always GoFundMe, I guess.
I hate that shit because it requires that you know a certain number of people, or you have a certain number of friends or clout on the internet that you can get the attention you need to get the money you need to survive. You don't waste all your time fucking around the computer.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild to me that people have to fucking, even before the pandemic, people have to GoFundMe for their health.
It sucks.
Like even now, I personally don't have health insurance and have not had any for about 2 years now because the premiums are too fucking high. So I kind of think Medicare for All is a pretty decent idea, just a little bit.
But you know, Paul, if you pay those premiums, you get the added benefit of paying deductibles in case you actually need to go to the doctor.
Oh, you mean like the extra $2,000 I would have had to pay out of pocket? Sounds swell.
I was so close to hitting my deductible this year before everything got shut down. I was going to get all my health care taken care of.
Just throw in some extra stuff you don't even really need just for the heck of it.
Just going to get some metal arms.
Yeah, some cat ears.
Love to have my health care system equivalent to a fucking casino.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll roll the dice. I might just get a small enough deductible in the $1,000 or $2,000 spectrum to be able to, you know, get a liver transplant or heart transplant or whatever the fuck I need.
I gotta tell you, this was all this line of conversation was just a big scheme so I could get us angry enough to listen to Aggravator.
I'm definitely aggravated now.
We got a song called Desensitized Devotion from the band Aggravator on their album Aggravator. You sent this over to me earlier. I dug it. What can you tell me about this one?
Basically, they're one of my favorite new thrash bands. They're out from Texas. Their guitarist died, their main guitarist, Jesse Lopez, died, I believe, last year. And this EP is like the last release with him on it. I forgot if they replaced the band member or not, but I thought it fitting because it's fast and angry, you know, all the things I love from my beloved thrash.
And I was going to say, like, the solo on this one is fucking rad, and it says here in the notes at the bottom that solo, of course, was performed by Jesse Lopez. I had no idea about that. That is a fucking bummer, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and pay tribute by listening to this one. This is Desensitized Devotion. Yeah.
Texas is pretty much a hotbed of thrash. Got some really good shit there from like Devastation and, well, from Devastation, Militia, and a couple others. So
it's too many bands, and also San Antonio is horrible. I try to avoid going there unless I have to.
Okay, so which would you say is worse, San Antonio or Houston? Because I remember vaguely one of your earliest podcast episodes about how you pretty much said Houston was a swamp.
Oh, it is. Houston is terrible. I think right now it's the epicenter of COVID in the country. Right now it's probably about 110 degrees there. There's no shade because there are no zoning laws. The entire thing is nothing but concrete and will be underwater with like a light storm. So rising sea waters are not going to do it any favor. So, I mean, like, Houston is what it is. It's already gone. I've accepted that. Also, I've got a lot of friends there. So, I like Houston better than I like San Antonio.
Too many Astros fans, though.
I've never had a problem with Astros fans. They,
Houston know, Texans?
Texans fans are, I don't know, they're lovable enough. They're somehow even more blinkered than Cowboys fans. You ever see the...
That's impossible, Joe.
I've never seen...
And this is coming from a guy whose cousin was one of the biggest Cowboys fans out there. So, I have a bit.
I've never seen a Cowboys fan get a preemptive Super Bowl champions tattoo, but yeah, I have seen a Texans fan do that. They did not win the Super Bowl that year, if you were wondering.
I still remember when they made the playoffs like 2-3 years ago with like an 8-13 record, whatever it was, like a really bad record, and they had one of the worst wildcard games in like football history. It was just painful to watch. So fair enough. Yeah. Houston Texans fans, God bless.
What's your team, Paul?
I'm not really much of a sports guy anymore.
Well, it's fortunate. There are no sports.
And the teams are getting back together and practicing and getting sick now.
It rules.
Oh, so they decided to listen to Vince McMahon, follow the Vince McMahon rule of practicing in empty fucking slots. Are they going to have games in empty fucking stadiums? Because that's hilarious.
And people are still getting sick.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to do that with, like, the WWE than it does any other sport, though, right? I mean, it's... There's not, like, a ton of crowd interaction with WWE, right?
No, not at all. People... Wrestlers totally aren't going into the crowd, being suplexed into the crowd. None of that.
I mean, you need the audience. You need the audience for, like, feedback. Cheering and booing, that's all part of the show. When there's no one there, it's just dudes grunting and falling down. And it's a little
awkward. I watched one of those videos where they were doing, like, a bit and whatever. It was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. And I watched fucking... Homeboys in Outer Space. So,
fuck yeah.
A dude. Classic.
I loved Homeboys in Outer Space. UPN in the 90s was the shit.
Yeah, okay.
I've professed my love on this show for UPN many times. Shasta McNasty, the first and only new metal television show to ever be made.
With Jake Busey, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I actually remember that shit.
They would play like heavily edited horror movies followed by the Wayans brothers, and I was like, fuck, I don't need cable. I have everything I need right here.
You know what's always annoying me about the Wayans brothers? They never got a final episode.
Really?
That shit was so bad that fucking Sean Wayans on the first Scary Movie, he fucking referenced that. When he was fucking stabbing a guy like 18 times. Like, how do you just take that off the air?
I had a lot of unanswered questions.
I kind of did too, but these things happen, I guess.
It does, but now that you mention it, like, we really do need a remake of Homeboys in Outer Space. I think now is the right time.
Do we, though?
I mean, why not? Everything else is getting a remake.
Yeah. Just start a Kickstarter, it'll make lots of money, and then it'll be put out, and people go, Yeah, that was all right, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I was really dumb as a kid. Maybe that wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Looking at you, Joe Dirt 2.
Is that going to be a thing?
No, it already happened, and it was terrible.
Wait, fucking really?
Yes.
Jesus
Christ. It was on direct-to-video, I believe, but not very good. And I love the original.
Was Kid Rock in it?
Yes.
Ooh.
Listen, all right. Back. Listen, all right. His love for Van Halen will be reverberated throughout history, all right?
I mean, it was the
correct call. It was the very pure love.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, this did not need to exist. It premiered on Crackle. What the fuck is Crackle?
It's just, I think it's just one of those internet streaming services that no one actually uses.
Get this shit. Crackle is a video streaming platform that's a joint venture between Sony Television Entertainment, Columbia Pictures, and Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment.
Isn't that like a gospel thing?
Yeah, this is like my grandmother had a bunch of these books. It was just like delightful stories about kids with gumption and a love for Jesus or something.
Yeah, it was like Hallmark movies, but in book form.
Okay.
This is a lot, man. But yeah, like this is a publicly traded company on the NASDAQ, so our next grift should just be like, I don't know, writing nice stories about patriotic children for old people.
You need to get Kevin Sorbo or Dean Cain as a fuck as one of the teachers, though.
Oh yeah,
they love that shit.
Maybe who's the kid from The Growing Pains?
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron, yeah, he's all about that. He's kind of like an OG grifter with this kind of thing.
You know, the guy who served this country faithfully, but got his leg blown over by a really bad mine or some shit, and had to come home and found that the country he served isn't the same.
I mean,
so now he must teach these kids the patriotic way of living in America or something.
I mean, just based on the thing that you just crapped out in 10 seconds, I bet you can get a deal based on that.
Yeah, probably.
See, with Kirk Cameron, though, it's not a grift. He's actually, like, really weird about it. I remember reading in, like, one of his direct-to-whatever videos, he had to kiss an actress in this part. He had his wife stand in for like that 1 second because he wouldn't kiss another woman in an acting role in a movie.
How? Why?
Jesus frowns just, on the smoochies.
That just takes an awkward thing and makes it more awkward. Granted, it would have been hilarious to see, but fuck.
There's this image I fucking love of Kirk Cameron tweeted it out. It was like him celebrating his birthday. There's a big conference table and like 3 6-inch Subway sandwiches and the saddest fucking cake you've ever seen and just two exhausted middle-aged women next to him. That's what the growing pains will get you, man.
Yeah, I thought doom metal was depressing.
Oh god, it would be so tight if a band would just use that as their cover.
Just a concept, you know, album.
I'm thinking maybe Osiphius, because they're like doom metal, like Candlemass, but their fucking covers have like these weird gas mask machine gun wielding guys on it. You would think it's like a fucking war metal album. They should use that shit.
I think that's the thing. I mean, you can put on a lot of spikes and stuff and take a photo, or you can get a cool drawing, or you could pay your glue sniffing brother to do a bad drawing. But what we really need to take is from reality. We got to license these photos. God damn, Kirk Cameron is fucked up, man. I'm just like scrolling through his Wikipedia right now.
We're learning so much on this episode.
Also, there was a Growing Pains movie in 2000.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, now I gotta look this shit up.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna be doing an episode on this for sure.
So was it like everyone from the show was involved, or was it like Kirk Cameron made a movie and just replaced all the actors because he
I guarantee you there was no way they were gonna get Leo DiCaprio to reprise his role as the troubled kid.
Oh my god.
The kid who lives upstairs.
I forgot about that. Fuck.
Wasn't Kirk Cameron's friend in that show named Boner?
I do believe so.
Was it Boner? I thought it was like Booger.
There might have been a Booger, it might have been a Boner. Okay. I don't know.
Andrew Koenig as Richard Milhouse Boner Stabone.
Imagine that being his actual name.
I mean, his name on the show was Richard Milhouse Boner Stabone. How did they get that through the censors?
I don't know. Different time. Maybe they said it was Dutch.
Made for TV feel good movies are very weird. So,
I mean, I've only ever watched.
I'm still trying to remember fucking God's Not. What is it? God's Not Dead? Or,
Yeah. That was a tough one. That was a real tough one. We don't have to focus on God's Not Dead though. Let's instead listen to some more music. You suggested this one, and I was like, I own that record already. I'm ahead of the curve. These are some folks, you know, a band called Children of the Reptile. Is this North Carolina or South Carolina?
North.
North Carolina. If you like their Thin Lizzy, I think this is a band that you might like a lot. They got that harmonized guitar attack, and I think it's just really can't go wrong with that ever.
Fixed in the
Where did you first come upon this one?
Oh, it was when I visited my friend in North Carolina, and I went to his festival, and they were one of the bands playing, and afterwards we went to a chicken place and ate, and then I listened to more of their music. They're really good dudes, man.
Which festival did you go to?
Oh, it was Rapid Fire. It was put on by, I think you may know who it is, Tommy.
Oh yeah, I know that. I know Tommy. Jordan, do you know Tommy?
Yeah, I think I know Tommy.
That's an Easter egg for people that listen to the first 35 episodes of the show.
Jesus Christ, you guys are on what, 232 now?
Past 250 now.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think about this a
lot. Is that with or without the Patreon episodes?
I include the Patreon episodes in that account. That way when somebody's like, what happened to episode 219? I'm like, aha, you gotta subscribe.
I need the whole collection. I'm gonna be lost if I don't listen to the Patreon episode.
I think about,
it's a linear show.
Exactly. We're telling a narrative tale the entire way through.
The Toilet of Hell expanded universe.
Every week when I put the show up and I have to count what the last episode was to put this one on there, I'm like, how long are we going to do? Are we going to do like the Joe Rogan thing where it's like episode 3000?
Yes, but without the money and success.
Holy shit, dude. Did you see the deal he got with fucking Spotify?
Yeah, the world is cruel and disgusting.
Yeah, it's just insane. Like, we can't afford to pay more than a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a cent for your song streams, but here have $100 million, Joe Rogan.
People who defend Spotify is just the best people.
It sucks, like, because it's so convenient and all that, but, like, there is no worse service for artists, like, anywhere. I love Bandcamp because bands actually get paid like what you would get paid because you're purchasing it, which makes a lot more sense economically, but it is tough to get people that are, like, what is the word for it, bought into the Spotify platform to, like, move over. And I'm saying you gotta do it. You gotta do the thing.
Huh. Well, I mean, where else can you not get that nice little green logo with the ability to get, what, 5 cents for 200 streams?
That's less than that.
Yeah. I've taken a look at dudes' paychecks that they post from bands that, like, are big bands, like what they get from Spotify. It's just like, there was no point in even mailing this check out. It costs more to mail it out than what you got.
It's literally pennies.
That's insane, man. And then, like, Tidal isn't that much better, right?
I think it was really good for, like, the flagship artists on Tidal, mm-hmm. because they got a better cut, and everybody else is like, fuck you.
And the thing is like, as someone who has bands on Spotify, like, it's an easier way for people to find the bands sometimes than it would be just having a Facebook and a Bandcamp page. Lots of people use Spotify, and even through recommendations, someone might find you more than they might just through Bandcamp. And it's just like, why wouldn't I have my label put the songs up on there? Yeah, we don't get paid, but at being at such a small level, it's like, well, you might get lucky and someone might put in forth the effort to actually buy your stuff.
I mean, Jordan, you should just go the route of every rapper ever now and go have a SoundCloud account.
Well, my plan is to go viral with a tweet, and then I could respond to myself, while you're here, here's a link to my SoundCloud.
I've seen a tactic that's taken up in the last couple of years is rappers will tweet things that are, like, intentionally inflammatory so that they can go ahead and drop the...
Oh, my God. Can I point out real quick how badly I want to just give a fucking wedgie to that Zumbi guy?
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking.
So who's this?
I hate that fucker so much.
Explain this to people who don't know.
this Mr. Zumbi or whatever, he goes viral roughly every 2 months for saying something like, you can't pay your rent because you don't work hard enough. You need to hustle and like commit and do a startup or some shit. And everybody gets mad at it, and then he replies to himself, like, you can buy my book on, like, entrepreneurship right here.
he's like the worst of black conservatives and the worst of hustle Twitter condensed into one.
Yeah, and it's like, a pretty transparent grift, but you still have, like, shitty boomer grandparents. Like, why are you on Twitter in the first place? But, like, shitty boomer grandparents that are, like, buying your book now. Thank you, sir.
You're one of the good ones.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Man. That's... I can't take it. I can't take the fucking boomer old people anymore. But I saw some video yesterday of, like, a big group of armed black people in Stone Mountain, Georgia, like, publicly calling out, like, Proud Boys, KKK, like, all that shit. And it's been making the rounds among boomer conservative social media. And these people are scared. And that makes me very happy.
Yeah, it's kind of endearing. Because, see, what they don't get is that actual rednecks, because they use the term rednecks, actual rednecks would be standing side by side with these people. But they don't seem to get that, because all they care about is... black man with gun bad. I support the rights of all black Americans to arm themselves. Yeah, that didn't seem to be the case when the reason we have the gun laws we have now is because the Black Panthers marched on the Capitol with guns.
Yeah, famous liberal doing it, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah, that totally liberal hoax.
It's, I don't know, it's weird though. Old people are scared, and well, I mean,
and it's like, oh well, they won't stand a chance. They would get squashed by the military, and yet you only a month ago were cheering white militants fucking screaming in cops' faces about wearing a mask and going, yeah, man, fight that tyranny, like. The cognitive dissonance is amazing with these people.
Yeah, and it's. I've seen a couple of people point that out, and it's like, well, no, they weren't breaking the laws, though. They were, it's like, I don't
totally
know.
Totally weren't breaking the laws. Like, and it was like the one picture circulating around with that fucking white militant with the beard screaming in the cop's face. That's a perfect personification of entitlement and, individualism in this country. It's like, I got mine, fuck all y'all. Yeah. Even though helping out everyone else benefits you in the end.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future because things are pretty wild right now, but like, as a black man in America, Paul, like, how do you think things are going to go? Like, do you think things are going to improve at all, or is it going to get much, much worse?
I'm a bit more optimistic than my fellow black folks, but I don't see shit getting better, in the long term, at least not for a while, because let's see, you have Donald Trump and then you have Joe Biden, so you get to choose between either one of those two.
Yeah, it's
or you can choose Kanye West, you can always choose him. You know, to pick for president. And then the thing is, none of these three people are going to enact any actual changes that people need. Like, I see a lot of people on Twitter, Lord help me, talking about voting doesn't do shit. And for the longest time, I disagreed with that. But now it's more like, just like, we try to appeal about these problems peacefully. We try to appeal about them with marches and voting and writing letters or whatever, appealing to our politicians. And when they don't ignore us outright, they mock and threaten us. So then now we have to get on the streets, and all of a sudden it's, oh, well, rioting doesn't do shit. You're hurting your cause. And I'm just like, what else do you expect us to do?
That's a good point. Like, I don't know, like, what you could do to appeal to these people.
I mean, you could I mean, you could totally fucking take the Aunt Jemima lady off the serve. That'll totally help. You know, I mean, we just want cops to stop fucking murdering us in the street. But Aunt Jemima, that was a huge fucking problem. I'm so glad they fixed that.
Yeah, taking down the Lethal Weapon episodes of Always Sunny, like, that's fixing the systemic things that that people are asking for, right?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know, man. It's tough and it's complicated, and I don't know. I'm not asking you to, like, explain everything, but, like, shit seems really fucking weird.
I don't know. It's just, like, I'm glad people are somewhat now seeing how much of a problem the police and, you know, the people that back them, the corporations, the politicians, or whatever. Because, you know, even with all these protests, all they had to do was, you know, be calm, be peaceful, and not succumb to their better nature for at least 2 weeks. But no, let's fucking run into protesters, let's fucking shoot tear gas and rubber bullets at them. Just basically act like you were, if you were in a war zone, at peaceful unarmed protesters. You know, that's definitely how you're going to effectively have a PR campaign about how cops are good in this country. Totally.
I think that that has really opened up a lot of eyes for people that might not have ever, like, even had to deal with the cops, where they're like, oh, these guys are actually out of control, which is good, because it means that, you know, people are aware. The problem is, like, what do you do next? I think defunding is a great goal, and it seems like everybody in power is dead opposed to it.
Of course. But, I mean, you know, there's a nice little solution to that that has to do with a block of wood and a blade on the top, but, you know. I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't disagree at all.
But the thing is, like, in New York, I just read an article. It's like, oh, well, 40 people got shot since on 4th of July. If the police had been around, they could have fixed this. Like, I don't know. Would they have done anything if they were there? I don't think so. Because I've seen plenty of, I'll say, altercations break out during my time. And the police there was at least one or two cops there, and they didn't do shit. It's like, they'll arrive early. No, they'll arrive late, like 2 hours after the incident happens, fill down a report, and then that's it.
Yeah.
They arrive after the point. The point is, like, all that money and all the resources that are funded into the police could be funded to other things that would help deal with the actual problems in the communities. Why the fuck are we sending police to help mentally ill people? Why are we sending police to help to brush homeless people off when you could put more money towards actual housing? Supposedly we have more empty houses in America than police. I mean, more empty houses than homeless people, but somehow we can't fix this.
Yeah, there are very obvious solutions, and it's just, the powers that be are super not into it. I think about that a lot, what you had said about police really not doing a ton to stop, crime as it's happening. It's more like show up late and then write a report and then fuck off and do whatever, eat a donut. I think that, like, defunding the police is a good idea, and I have an idea that, like, would inspire maybe a lot of apolitical people. It's that we defund the police because, you know, they're a menace. But we do have a crack team of, like, Benson and Stablers that just investigate after the fact but actually do their job.
That sounds like a plan to me. I mean, and it's like, if they don't, you know, show up 2 hours late and fucking, as the joke goes, shoot your dog, they'll show up at the time of at the crime supposedly taking place and then shoot a woman in her bed, sleeping, and then arrest the guy who was trying to defend her. We could always do that.
Yeah, man, like, the...
Why the fuck are have these people not been arrested or something happened to them yet?
I mean, they protect their own. That's the... that's the code, I guess, and that that means terrible things for the rest of us. These are things that we're gonna, continue to hopefully have the full attention of everybody and fucking do right for once.
We'll see.
Before we close this one out, you have any additional thoughts for us?
Other than deal with the murderers of Breonna Taylor, defund the police, and listen to more thrash. That's pretty much all I got. I really did enjoy being on here, though.
I'm glad that we could have you on. I mean, you've been a fellow toileteer for many years. I'm glad that we could get you on so I could actually hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people will be disappointed. It's fine, though. I hate the sound of my voice, too.
Everybody hates the sound of their voice. It's universal. All right, Paul, thanks so much for coming on, and everybody else, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.